saying the things you wish you could. He is America's voice, Steve Gruber.
Welcome back to it on a Tuesday. Good to have you here. I was so excited to hear. I was in Minneapolis covering the event there on Thursday and the riots afterwards, as you know. And the divide in America intense. But several months ago, we saw a list of half a dozen venues being considered for one of the presidential debates in the fall of 2020. The University of Michigan was on the list. I said, there is no question U of M will get one of those debates. How could it not? After all, Michigan is the epicenter of battleground states. The New York Times wrote months ago, wherever Michigan goes, the election goes. And in effect, Michigan got two debates, if you will, because the first one is in South Bend, Indiana, on the Michigan border. Indiana's not in doubt, and Illinois is not in doubt, but Michigan is. Southwest Michigan could be important. And then the next one in Ann Arbor, because Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, awarded one of those debates, debate number two. Here to talk about it, Aaron Call, the director of debate at the University of Michigan. Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back. And you were right when you predicted we'd receive the debate several months ago when we last spoke.
Yeah, I get them right now and then. But I was, you know, I looked at it. I mean, how could you not bring one? First of all, world-class institution, a place that everybody's aware of, and right in the heart of the Midwest where, I mean, it's all going to stop and start right here in the Midwest in the election, I believe. How important is this for the University of Michigan?
Well, it's very exciting. And, you know, there hadn't been a presidential debate in Michigan back until, I believe, it was 1992 in East Lansing, but Michigan has never hosted either a primary or general election debate. And so, you know, there's a lot of support in order to host it. And as you mentioned, it was one of the most competitive states last time, just decided by about 10,000 votes. And this time could even be closer. And I think everyone, you know, thinks it's going to be another close election. And this debate will be October 15th, just a few weeks before, you know, voting. And so, you know, university excited to bring, you know, the two candidates and not just the debate itself, but all the dialogue and the civic engagement and everything that surrounds the debate, you know, into the months leading to that, the voter registration, get people involved and active. And then at the conclusion of the debate, it'll basically be the start of the election will be underway.
That's exactly 1 year from today, Aaron. 1 year from today. Will be the debate in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. The last debate, as you mentioned, 1992 at the Wharton Center, Michigan State University. I was in attendance at that event as well. George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot. It was quite a night. And they are historic events. They're interesting events. They're events that you always will remember when you go. I assume you're going to be at this one.
Yes. No, I'm working with many other people at the university. We have been for a while to, you know, on this and the application process. And so, yes, for sure. And we think, you know, Michigan's, as you mentioned, an ideal host. And we put on a lot of big events like football games. And this is different that, you know, the attendance for the actual debate won't be as large, but it's mostly a TV production. But then just the, you know, the media, both national, international, you know, descending on Ann Arbor for, you know, several days in advance. And it'll certainly be a very large production, and, you know, debates now could be watched by up to, you know, 100 million people around the world. And so,
sure.
But I think thankfully we do get a year in which to prepare. But, you know, Michigan puts on a great event. We have a lot of experience and a lot of real, you know, talented people and students that will work and volunteer to make sure it's a great production, and I hope that you'll be able to be there in October 2020 as well.
Well, you also, you compared to a football game, sometimes these presidential debates can be like a football game, hard hits, jarring, you know, hits, sometimes injury to a campaign. So we'll keep an eye on it. There's potential for big moments that can be history-changing moments in campaigns, as you know. So we'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, tonight, Westerville, Ohio, in the greater Columbus area, Westerville, Ohio, hosting a Democrat debate. The biggest field I have ever seen. I think it is the biggest field of any debate, maybe ever. 12 people on the stage, including two newcomers. Tulsi Gabbard will make the stage. Not a newcomer to the debates, but a newcomer to the final debates, if you will. And then you've got Tom Steyer, the billionaire from California, bringing his show to the stage tonight as well. How do you break through when there's 12 of you on the stage and you get like 2 minutes or maybe even less to say something? It's all reduced to such little snippets that how do you really, you know, tell America or your Democrat voters, I'm the person to vote for? I mean, how do you get there?
Yeah, you, as you mentioned, this is the largest debate to date. There was one that involved 11 candidates, I believe, in Simi Valley on the Republican side in 2015. But this is, we're in uncharted territory. And, you know, the debate will be a little bit longer, but, you know, dividing that amongst 12, nobody's going to get more than probably 10 or 15 minutes top, and some of the lower tier candidates would have to, you know, fight for even half that time. Part of it involves luck, and even kind of, you know, beyond what you can control. You hope that you're called on by the moderator at a key exchange in the debate, and that you have a really positive moment that is, can become a viral clip that is then you know, shown several times after the debate, and then impacts the narrative after. And we saw, you know, this is the fourth debate, but Kamala Harris certainly had a type of exchange like that in the first debate in Miami against Joe Biden. But that was short-lived. It did increase her polling and fundraising immediately. But now, you know, when you look at the polls, she's back.
Well, that's because in the next debate, she got taken out at the knees by Tulsi Gabbard, and she's never recovered. I mean, so she had a big night the first night, crushed the second night. And I don't think Kamala Harris's campaign has recovered from that. And that's why I wonder if Tulsi Gabbard will be putting her sights on Joe Biden tonight, because Joe Biden, his poll numbers have been slipping in recent weeks. He's got trouble. And regardless of your opinion on the debate over the Ukraine, it has taken its toll on his candidacy. How important is tonight for Joe Biden?
Oh, very important. And I think that, you know, there has been an ascension from Elizabeth Warren, although I think part of that is she's taken some support from Bernie Sanders, which is kind of now, you know, she's the front runner, I think, both nationally and then in most of the early contests except South Carolina. But no, Tulsi Gabbard, Tom Steyer, they're wild cards. As you mentioned, Gabbard had the best of several exchanges in some of the previous debates she's been involved with. I don't know that she would attack Harris, you know, given that her slip in the poll, but yeah, the front runner like a Biden or Warren or Sanders. She did seem in some previous debates, Gabbard, that she was, you know, held out some hope of maybe being considered for a vice president or maybe a, you know, cabinet position. So the one downside in attacking a front runner like that is if you're too strong, then that could imperil those chances. And we did see when Castro tried to be really tough at the Houston debate, that seemed to backfire, and the other candidates kind of took his back. But Biden has a really, you know, really important debate. It's, as you mentioned, he's been slipping the polls a little bit, certainly to the, you know, Warren has eclipsed him, and Ukraine will definitely be a big part of the debate. And there's, I think, an interview with his son this morning, and so that will likely be, you know, kind of the topic of conversation with the appropriateness of that, you know, what he would do to ensure that, you know, if he were the nominee or president, that those things would not reoccur. And also, you know, this is the first debate after the heart attack of Bernie Sanders, and just the questions of age in general, you know, while that's specific to Sanders, you know, Biden is also, you know, almost of a similar age, and so he could have to face some of those questions as well.
Right. Might leave Elizabeth Warren by herself at the front of the pack if Biden does poorly. Bernie's already been slipping. We'll see how it all comes out. Aaron Cull, the director of debate at the University of Michigan. 1 year from today, the U of M will host the second of the presidential debates for 2020 cycle. We look forward to it. Aaron, thank you for being here.
Anytime, sir.
There you have it. Aaron Cull, everybody, from the University of Michigan. Quick break. You're on the Steve Gruber Show.
You've seen the headlines. Clean water has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best home water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier manufacturer of whole home water systems and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves homeowners statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say. Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
Okay to Say can change that. Okay to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the Okay to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the Okay to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.